I'm going to ask you this morning, did you bring a journal? I hope. Something to write on. Okay, good. Please pull it out, because I want to ask you a question, two questions. Nobody's going to see it but you, okay? But this is important, because I want to invite you to go on a journey with me. We're going to go back to the garden. Remember the garden? It all started in a garden. And I want us to step into that garden and behold and take in what happened to Eve. Because what happened to Eve happened to you and me. Something went very wrong, and it was not the Father's intention. You were created to flourish in a garden. God made you for beauty, for majesty, and glory. So Genesis 2, let's just step back there. Genesis is where it all began. And I'm going to read to you. I've got scripture on the screen. It's coming. Yeah. I'm going to read to you out of Genesis 2, starting in verse 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden to the east, and he placed in the garden the man that he had formed. Now remember, he formed man out of the dirt. Okay, just note to self, because that's important. Okay, dirt. God love him. And the Lord God planted all sorts of beautiful trees there in the garden, trees producing the choicest of fruit. At the center of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to be the gardener, to tend it and to care for it. But the Lord God gave the man a command, a warning. You may eat of every fruit in this garden except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened. You will be made aware of right and wrong, good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you're doomed to die. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion and helper suitable with him. And Genesis says, what does God create? First, the animals. He took some more dirt. And he made all the different beasts. And here, Adam, have at it, name them. And the word says, and still there was no one suitable, comparable, a companion for Adam. So we know that what God did, it says he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. I think my husband does some of his best work sleeping. A guy's got a gift. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, Adam is sleeping. And God takes a part of Adam, a rib, and he forms this amazing creature, woman. Brings her to him, and Adam says, now we got it. Now you're cooking, God. All right. Adam was very, very happy. So although the man and his wife were naked, they were not embarrassed or ashamed. So here's my question. I have two questions for you to write in your journal. What do these two trees have to do with you and me? You can't say it wrong, write it wrong, just jot down there. What do these two trees have to do with me? Second question. What do these two trees have to do with me living alert and awake in 2015. What do these two trees have to do with me living alert and awake in 2015? Adam and Eve were created to dwell. The word is tabernacle. You've heard that word before, huh? With God. God's love was so immense that he makes this man and this woman to dwell with him and to bear his image. In the beginning, there was beauty, order, harmony, fruitful work. There was no labor in the work. It was glorious. There was pleasure for Adam and Eve with God face to face and with one another. The garden reflected the Father's character. The garden reflected the Father's character and his love for Adam and Eve. It was perfection. Adam and Eve related to God face to face. Moses was told, "You see my face, you die." Not Adam and Eve. There was no fear, no shame, no lack, no need. Adam and Eve lived in complete fulfillment mentally, emotionally, physically. Their identity was complete in their Father. They knew what it felt like to be the God created them. Because of living in perfection, their senses were alert and awake, no stupor, no distraction. They were completely focused, able to take in the majesty of all that had been given to them. Perfect love was all they knew. Just sit there and think, what would I feel like if all I knew was perfect love? We can't even comprehend, can we? Their purpose and their destiny was laid out before them. What was it? To live eternally with their God, enjoying his presence, and living out his plan for their lives. Adam and Eve belonged. They would express the glory and beauty and power of the one who had created them. Now, love must always have a choice, or it's not love. So what happened? Well, there's two trees. Center of the garden, which means that you had to work to get there. And what we find in Genesis 3, there's Eve. And she's there at that tree. Now, she's full of innocence, sensitivity, beauty. For years and years, as I've been captivated by these two trees, my prayer has been, Lord Jesus, why did the serpent go to her and not the man? And you'll hear tonight about my testimony, but my take was, oh boy, there's something wrong with women. Oh, that's why. Because that enemy just knew there was something wrong with her. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that what the Lord shows us and will show us this weekend is the reason the serpent approached her is because of the magnificent image she bore in the likeness of her creator. She was created with great sensitivity and emotional connectedness, which means she took everything in through her sensitivity. And the enemy knew if he could get her there, he could get her, because she felt deeply. Do you feel deeply? Have you given up on feeling deeply? I'm not doing that anymore. It hurts too much to feel. Well, the serpent talks to her, and he invites her to mentally question God's character. Did God really say? Really? What's wrong with that fruit? Because the Bible says it was really pleasing or beautiful to the eye. Notice she's not going to go after something that's ordinary, mundane. She's attracted to beauty. So here was the lie, because the battle always begins in your mind, always, right here. Here's the lie. Eat from this tree, and your eyes will be open. And you will know good and evil, and you will be like who? God. Ah, don't be like you anymore. That's not enough. No. You should be like God. And only God knows good and evil. He's holding out on you. So what you know makes you like God. What you know makes you like God. Don't believe God. Believe what's in you. Oh boy. Don't believe God. Believe what's in you. Believe what you feel. Believe what you're thinking. Those are called strongholds. And there's Patty last night. I could hardly stay in my seat. She's dragging that ball and chain in here. And I don't know about any of you, but like, it was so irritating to me, the noise of those chains. Did you guys feel the same way? Like, I can't hardly even hear her because those stupid chains are echoing. But God, hey, that's what's going on inside of us. We can't even hear the Lord because of the chains of our strongholds. So what happens? Vain imaginations. Women, we are just so gifted with imagination. All the beauty, just how you can take a room and make it so beautiful. But see, the scripture talks about vain imagination, because that means, see, I imagined that you didn't say hi to me because you just want to say hi to her, and that just means you don't like me and you like her. Well, fine, I'm not going to talk to you. Sound familiar? And after all, I just know, see, that's how life is with me. I'm here so you'll reject me. That's what happens. Because after all, we were not created to know good and evil. So that good and evil goes into her, and she gives some to the man. He eats it, and now it says their eyes are open. And what's the first thing they realize? Uh-oh, I'm naked. There was nothing wrong with their nakedness. But now the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil says, yes, there is. So what's the first thing they do? They go grab some leaves. There's your performance. Here we go. I've got to do something. So we start living by what we know. How about you? How much in your day-to-day life do you live by what you know? Now perfection is gone. It's replaced by fear, shame, and blame. Because your inner man is your most important part. It's not your body. It's your innermost being. Knowledge of good and evil made Adam and Eve self-centered. They were no longer God-centered. Unbelief and doubt filled their soul. The light in them was now darkness. Fear of punishment swoops in, dread. Like Sharon said last night, I just was born like feeling like this dread. Yes, we are. That's absolutely accurate. We were born with a fallen nature. It's a feeling of doom. What did the knowledge of good and evil offer? Why was it so attractive? Pardon me? Okay, we'd be like God. So autonomy. Okay, we're going to be independent, in control. There you go. Okay, you put knowledge, good and evil in me, I decide. I decide what's right and wrong. Independence, self-rule. Freedom from external controls or influence. I will decide what is good and what is evil. This, ladies, is the essence of sin. It's freedom from God. So what is freedom from God? Well, I'm going to read some. Write down on your journal if anything rings a bell with you. So here's the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And my tree, it's probably hard to see. You can come up here after and take a look at some of the fruit. Here's what we get when we live free from God. Yay! Fear, anxiety, depression, hate, murder, anger, pride, jealousy, selfishness, shame, blame, guilt, lawlessness, mental torment, rejection, inferiority, insecurity, introspection, that's a big one, mental illness, physical sickness, and ultimately death. Because of this tree, we are born feeling judgment, which is the essence of the fruit of this tree. You see, Satan wants you to believe that you are what you feel. Satan wants you and I to believe I am what I feel. Because judgment feels inside like rejection. Would you please raise your hand if you've never felt rejection? This is a good group. You've done. Because it is epidemic. So here comes God. Where are you? Because they always ran to him. Where are you? As if he needed to ask, right? Well, and we know that they have a reply. Well, I was afraid because I was naked. And well, how do you know you're naked? Did you eat from the fruit of the tree I told you not to? And we know, of course, they did. So here's where they land. There's a crisis in the garden. in perfection and beauty and the magnificence of this holy God, crisis enters. Oh, no. Now, does the father have to go to plan B? Hardly. Because love is not love if there's not a choice. So, they eat the fruit. Did they die? No. They're breathing, huh? But what died? Their spirit, connection with God, innocence, that's for sure, yes. Their face-to-face relationship with Him. I would submit to you that what died in them as well as the God created them. Because now they've been polluted, poisoned. What poisoned Eve has poisoned you and I. You were born with poison. And what is so amazing is that the Father's love is so incredible, He says, I've got to drive them out. Because if they stay here and they eat from that tree of life, they'll stay in this condition forever and live separated from me forever. I love them too much. And so Father has a plan. He speaks to the serpent. He speaks to the woman. He speaks to the man about, because of what you have eaten. See, Father's not doing it to them. This is important. Because of what you have eaten and taken in, here's what life will be about. And he says to the woman, what? There shall be enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and his seed. And I submit to you, I believe that what the Lord has taught me, there is a unique war women wage with the enemy, men do not. Why? Oh, because God was not done. Yes, the fall came because the woman was deceived. Oh, but he's got a plan. Oh, he's not done with women by a long shot. So here's his mercy. He sets in plan. Redemption. There will be another young woman. And she will be approached by another angel. And she'll be given the opportunity. The one who shall be in you shall be Emmanuel, God with us. The remarkable plan for God to go into a woman. Who could think of such a thing? And she says, may it be done unto me according to your word. Young girl, 13, 14. She will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and a son shall be conceived by the eternal and uncreated God. Redemption will be fought for as this son kneels in another garden. Another garden. And he's going to wrestle there in torment over, is there any other way that this can pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. So he lets us peek in on the suffering of his saying, yes, Father. And he wrestles into the night over the torment that's coming. And yet he gladly says, yes, they're worth it all. There will be another tree. That tree will be formed into a cross. And that cross will hold the sinless Lamb of God, who was innocent of all sin. And he says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. And that cross, because of who is placed on it, will satisfy the unpayable debt of sin before the Father. And that blood that was shed on that tree then is offered to the Father forever. Anyone who says, that blood's for me because I can't save myself, then that blood is shed. And the Father welcomes us back into the reality of living in a garden. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. So what I say to people is that your heart is your yard. It's your garden. Everything is about your heart. Jesus said the night he was to be betrayed, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will produce much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing. So where is the war waged over your heart, which is your garden? And Romans says that it's all about how we believe. Little lies can pollute the whole body. So here's what the message of the cross says to us this morning. That you are not what you have done. And you are not what has been done to you. You are who God created you to be. And he's so invested in you becoming who his son died on the cross to restore, that he's inviting you into communion with him to say, okay, who is the God created me? Have you asked him that? Lord, who is the God created me? Because fear, depression, mental torment will tweak how you see yourself. A couple of years ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, warn my people that the enemy is sending a spirit of depression and mental torment against them. So if we all jumped on a plane and we landed in Afghanistan, we'd be really clear, like, whoa, this is a war zone. Well, the Lord said to me, my people want to live on a cruise ship. They were born on a battleship. All hands on deck, get to your battle stations. Now, the battle has been won through the cross of Jesus Christ. What I'm inviting you and appealing to you about today, your theme is awaken. If you are not aware that there's been strategies waged against you walking in the fullness of who God meant you to be, then we're suffering because we need you to be who God says you are. Does that make sense? So as I was praying last night and this morning, I felt the Lord was saying, I want you to appeal to them about how much you listen to the accuser's voice instead of the Father's voice. Amen.